Thursday, January 29th, 2004, meeting of the Boulder County Board of County Commissioners. It's back in session. Present are Commissioners Stewart, Mayor, and Danish. The business before us is a public hearing on the recommendations for the new Boulder County vote tabulation system. Let me begin with a few ground rules. First, who has cell phones here? Turn them off. This is a matter of public hearing. We will have a presentation from the clerk's office first, and then I will also ask the vendor to speak. Following that, we will take testimony from the public. The official record of this hearing is a tape recording, so anyone can speak at the hearing, but I will need you to speak at the podium and into the microphone and to identify yourself by name and address. We will follow a sign-up sheet. I'm going to ask speakers, and then we will open the matter to people who did not sign up. I'm going to ask speakers to try and keep their initial remarks to 3 minutes, and Susan Ashcraft will time the remarks. I also see that we have representatives here from two organizations, Citizens for Verifiable Voting and Citizens for Accurate Mail Ballot Election Results, and we will give them a bit more time initially because they speak for groups, as we will from representatives from the political parties who may want to speak. After that, however, if the time becomes inordinate, I will ask you to bring your remarks to a conclusion initially. Everybody will get as long as they want, but I would like people to be brief in the first remarks, and then we will go around the room a second time if you did not get to cover your points in the first go around, and you'll get more time to speak after everyone else has spoken. But this way we can ensure that everyone gets at least a chance to make some initial statements. All of that said, Madam Clerk.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. First off, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to provide my recommendation for a voting system for Boulder County. I'd like to cover several things in my presentation: the voting system we're recommending for Boulder County, why we are recommending the system, and how we arrived at our decision. Following that, Neil McClure of Hart InterCivic will explain the features of the Ballot Now voting system we are recommending. I will present a PowerPoint presentation, and then I have a summary after that prior to Mr. McClure's presentation. And if you wouldn't mind, if I would sit here while we did the PowerPoint, it's much easier for me to read off of there. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. Just as long as you speak into a microphone.
I will. Is this on? Okay. Recommendations for Boulder County's voting system. Why we are recommending the purchasing of a paper-based voting system at this point. The DRE environment is in flux. No security standards or disability standards until around 2006. Voter confidence issues surrounding unverifiable voting are providing an incentive for DRE manufacturers to add a printed voter-verified paper ballot or record.
Linda, if I might, could you explain what DRE is?
I'm sorry. That is called a direct record electronic recording. It's very similar. There are various systems out there. There are ones like the ATMs with the touch screens.
Okay. Okay. Just so everyone understands.
Okay. I'm sorry. Boulder County was always going to have to purchase a paper-based voting system as a component of its overall voting system to handle an estimated 20 to 30,000 expected absentee votes. The clerk's office is simply recommending to continue with the purchase of that paper-based portion of the voting system equation. Paper-based voting systems have their own standards. They do not face the standards for technical security matters that are pending for DREs. However, paper-based systems do not solve the question of access to disabled voters. A federal court in Florida ruled that a county must provide blind and disabled with audio voting machines, a ruling that will affect every county with an optical scan system. Florida's Secretary of State says the ruling will cost millions. Why are we looking at DREs at all? We needed to replace the data vote system. DREs are viewed as a solution to the federal mandate to provide disabled voters with the opportunity to vote unassisted. They were the only solution to the disability issue. They are currently the approach most favored by the disability community. Going forward, all counties still face a mandate to allow disabled voters the opportunity to vote unassisted. Why do we recommend purchasing the HART system? There isn't market uncertainty about optical scan or ballot image reading systems. Systems produce a paper ballot, also produces a digital ballot image. We'll save time and money by allowing us to underprint ballots in preparation for an election, reduces security and administrative problems associated with having excess ballots on hand, allows us to print ballots on demand when extra ballots are needed, such as with replacement ballots or last-minute absentee request. Uses off-the-shelf components, scanners, computers, and printers. And one of the pieces of information I would like to provide to the commissioners regarding that is by using off-the-shelf components, as time goes on and new scanning technologies come available, we could replace one scanner every year, and so that would keep our technology up to date and current. Ballots need only be printed on a slightly heavier stock paper. Ballots don't need to be printed according to strict design standards as with normal optical scan ballots.
Can you tell me a little more about what that means?
Mr. McClure will address those issues in his presentation, if that would be okay.
Sure.
We'll allow quicker resolution of ballots with questions of voter intent by eliminating the need for duplicate ballot. Ballot scanning doesn't need to stop to resolve questionable ballots, unlike counting with traditional optical scanning systems. Contests requiring an interpretation of voter intent are automatically highlighted in the ballot image. Ballot resolution process is more public and transparent, and each resolution is logged onto an audit log. Why are we opposed to leasing? Money spent on leasing is money that could be spent on a new system. Future budget available for election is uncertain. Companies that would lease to us would not have an incentive to perform the work needed to integrate our voter registration system with the envelope tracking and ballot counting system. We will be at the mercy of two vendors, not just one that is leasing us equipment, to do timely and efficient programming for us. Boulder County was always going to purchase a paper ballot-based system for absentee voting. Boulder County will recoup HAVA funds for replacing our punch card system.
And so I assume that means that we would not be able to do that if we leased a system?
That is correct.
Okay.
How much, what do we, give us a sense of what we would be able to recoup?
At this point in time, we do not have the exact dollar amounts. We have talked to the Secretary of State. We wanted to make sure that funding would be available if we went at this time with digital imaging. And it would be based on a percentage. There are five counties within the state that have punch card systems. At this point in time, we do not have the exact figure. We could see if we could get that
point. Yeah, but what kind of percentages are we looking at? 5%, 30%, 50%, 90%, what?
I don't know at this time. The money is available through the state. We do not have the exact percentage.
When do you think you would know that, or how soon will we know that?
It would depend on the purchase price when we purchased it. As you know, there was a letter presented to you from the Secretary of State's office that the money is available. We could probably get you some information. We could see if that percentage is available now to find out what percentage they would cover.
The Act does provide that the feds are supposed to pay 95%. And the states, through counties or however, are to pay 5%, but the funding hasn't been completely forthcoming, as I understand it.
The money for replacing the punch card system is available currently. The money that it has been in question in the past was the funding for the DREs.
So the amount is substantial. We're not talking about small challenge grant or something. We're talking about raised the price of the system, likely.
That's correct.
Do we know in Colorado how much money is available in total?
I do not have that with me at this time. And I just didn't want to say, because I wasn't sure the exact percentage. I was thinking it was around 80%. But,
okay.
How we got to this decision, current punch card system slated for elimination, advisory committee to examine the accessibility and usability of DREs, security issues left to county IT department, Secretary of State made a decision to seek punch card deadline waiver, DRE security and disability standards are not on schedule. Clerk's office was making its decision in what became an evolving environment with the expectation that a system would be chosen for use in 2004. The advisory committee meetings have all been public. In these meetings, the clerk's office never limited its scrutiny of voting systems to just DRE. This process has always been about selecting a comprehensive voting system. To conclude, I'd like to address head-on some of the allegations that have been made about how we arrived at the decision and to clear up some of the misrepresentations about the system. Exaggerations have become the norm in criticizing our decision, and the taxpayer and voters of the county shouldn't suffer as a result. As you have seen from many of the most recent emails you have been receiving, constituents are insisting that we have a verifiable paper ballot. That is exactly what we are proposing. We are not going with an electronic-only voting system, as some would have you believe. We are not recommending the purchase of a paperless DRE, direct recording electronic voting system, generally thought of as a touchscreen system that does not produce a record of a vote, except electronically at present. We made the decision in December, yet critics are stating federal and Colorado officials are busy developing new voting system standards. Federal officials are developing voting system standards for DREs. There has been no indication that they are developing standards that will significantly impact paper-based voting system. The system we are recommending provides a voter-verifiable paper ballot. In fact, it also provides a second digital image. Leasing a system for two more years would waste taxpayers' money and time. There is not the time for that, and I have made the decision not to do so. Any other system we could lease would likely be a traditional optical scan, which we believe will not do as good a job as ballot now because of characteristics inherent in an optical scan system. The fact is that we know who is out there with paper ballot solutions. We already know why we don't want to use them. The suggestion that the ballot on demand capability will create security and verifiability issues is unfounded. In fact, ballot on demand provides better security because it only prints ballots on demand rather than having to secure a large stockpile of overprinted ballots. Also, paper ballots are inherently verifiable. The argument that we shouldn't be integrating our new obsolete voter registration database is moot. The fact that whatever we do, we have to integrate our voter registration database because that's what drives ballot generation. And when a statewide voter registration database goes into effect, we will have to integrate with that also. The money spent now on the functionality developed is transferable to the new statewide voter registration system in the future when it comes online. Hart InterCivic is one of the top four election system vendors in the state. Their system, both equipment and software, is certified by federal officials and is either certified or in the process of being certified in Colorado as meeting current 2002 standards. The Secretary of State has verified this. Hart InterCivic Ballot Now is a system that produces not one but two records of an elector's vote. It does so in a way that is much more transparent than other paper ballot systems currently certified, as you will see with Hart's presentation. Voters will always have a chance to review their paper ballot before they drop it in the ballot box. Poll watchers will be able to view how election judges resolve issues of voter intent, and there will always be a paper trail. Finally, I want to make one key point. We have been criticized for having had a closed process that didn't allow for public participation, which is curious because just a month ago we were being praised for allowing public participation. This process was public, and we've had public participation in virtually every public hearing we've held. At times, we've had more of the public present than our committee members. I have personally met with some of the critics to answer their questions and hear their concerns. Our election staffs have met with them. We have published Hart's entire RFP submission on the county website, with the exception of the proprietary information. Incidentally, Hart is to be commended for allowing their material to be published by us to provide more information to the public, despite the fact that the materials are normally protected from open records requests. We had even offered to allow the publication of all 8 RFPs on the web until we were told doing so violated the county's purchasing policy. In reaching this decision, I am drawing on 16 years of election experience. I purchased an optics CAN system by Sequoia when I was town clerk of Erie. My chief deputy, Nancy Worrell, has been involved with elections for 30 years. We've seen a lot of systems operate. We talk with county clerks constantly about their systems, what they like, what they don't like. I am confident that I am recommending the best solution for Boulder County's current voting needs. We have had plenty of experience with other vendors, and frankly, we find their customer support lacking, and when not lacking, extremely expensive. These other vendors have all been targeted by complaints and outright accusations by a variety of voter groups, including those advocating leasing here in Boulder County. And it is disingenuous for them to suggest we should select one of these vendors for a lease. I have listened to and considered the concerns raised by the public as well as yourselves, and I have taken all these concerns very seriously. But based on my experience and knowledge in this area, this is a system that I believe will allow us to conduct a fair, reliable, accurate, and secure election. There's more to elections than the narrow range of issues being raised by lease advocates. While I appreciate the dissenting opinions about what kind of voting system Boulder County should use, I am alone and responsible and will in the end be held accountable for producing a successful election. My recommendation that we purchase Hart Ballot Now system will, I believe, allows me to do that. I want to close with one final observation. There is no more mystery surrounding the voting system we are proposing than with the old data vote system that we used for 28 years successfully and that voters trusted. None. Let me repeat that. The major concerns being discussed here today could have been made about the data vote system which Boulder County voters used and trusted for 28 years. The difference with this system is that Ballot Now is more flexible, more public, and more easily verified. We could scan a batch of ballots, give them to independent third parties to hand count, and verify that hand-tallied batch count against the machine count. If some of the critics in the audience would like to sign up as election judges and perform that task for us in the wee hours of the morning, we would be glad to have them. Unfortunately, no one has volunteered. Instead, all we're hearing from these critics, almost all of who have become experts in the last 5 months, and most of them have never been participative as an election judge, much less administered an election, is that they are favoring a voting system approach that hasn't been certified. This is being marketed by a company that has no experience in the voting market, and that until their favored system becomes certified, which it may or may not, they would have us reliant on temporary vendors and have no commitment to Boulder County. It would seem to me that rather than repeatedly insisting the county do things specifically their way, they insist on participating in the real hard work of ensuring that the county's elections are run fairly and accurately. I would like to read into the record, commissioners, a paragraph from a letter, and we have copies that are for public access in the back of the room, from the Secretary of the State's office. Those of you that have a copy, it is on page 7. It is the last paragraph from Jude Durham, the director of Colorado HAVA. In closing, I offer the following additional observation. Regardless of the issue of punch card replacement, Boulder County must have a certified optical scanning voter system in place for purposes of processing absentee ballot. It is my understanding that you may wish to modify an existing optical scan voting system that was certified under the 1990 VSS. I should remind you that such modification requires certification by this office. As noted here above, this would require submission of the voting system to the ITAs for certification under the 2002 VSS prior to certification by this office. Furthermore, the technical solution you propose favorably resolves two very important issues. One, the requirement for optical scanning voting systems for the processing of absentee ballots, and two, the lawful replacement of punch card voting systems currently employed by the county and prohibited by HAVA. In my opinion, it may be advisable to acquire this equipment as soon as possible, as it is expected that voting systems costs will increase as other states and jurisdictions elect to purchase new equipment, thereby increasing market demand. With the ever-approaching statutory deadlines imposed by HAVA, coupled with the requirements to replace punch card voting systems, you have elected a conservative solution that would seem to lower risk. In addition, by being proactive, you properly address the challenges facing the election staff and judges and the public in transitioning a new voting system with adequate time to make adjustments to ensure voter turnout and confidence. Our common goal is to provide a voting system so that all eligible electors are encouraged to vote and may be permitted to vote in an election free of fraud and corruption. The electors of the state of Colorado are fortunate that the General Assembly of this state has had the wisdom to pass laws that provide a statutory framework to protect this most sacred constitutional right. Yours truly, Drew Durham, Director of Colorado HAVA. So, at this time.
Do we have any questions for the clerk?
They have a couple of questions, but maybe it would be better if I saw the presentation.
They may be answered once
see if those
the
are answered.
Okay. I don't have any at this time, but I will have some later, I think.
Okay.
Right, that's my sentiment. So.
Okay. I'm going to ask Mr. McClure to speak next. Before you begin, I would like to say something, and that is, although this is not a quasi-judicial matter as far as I know, I do think it would be useful to inform of any ex parte contacts, and I have had one with Mr. McClure. He asked me some time ago to have lunch, and he made much of the presentation and many of the points that are in the county clerk's presentation, and very little beyond that. The one matter of substance he discussed with me that was beyond the points for his system was telling me a bit about its origins, and that is the system originated with a man who lived in Boulder County some years ago named Ken Milpas, who invented one of the earliest electronic voting systems, and his company was eventually bought by Hart Intercivic. That was interesting information. For what it is worth, Mr. Milpas demonstrated his system to me some 15 years ago, I think it was. I had the same questions about it then that I have about DREs today. They still haven't been answered. I have also been approached at various times by members of the various organizations who are going to testify here today, and by representatives of some, if not all, of Boulder's political parties. I have actually outreached and called some of them, too. That is part of the information gathering process. As far as I know, there is nothing that I have not seen that they told me in those contacts, which has not been in the written presentations that they have made.
Mr. Chair, for disclosure, at NACO last summer, I did see, I believe it was probably the Sequoia DRE system. I think that's the only contact I've had with any vendor. That was probably mid-July in 2003. Otherwise, I don't think I've had much direct contact other than through emails from the public from anyone, other than the last public hearing, which is the last time I've even seen Linda and Tom. So, at any rate.
Okay. Mr. Milpas.
Mr. McClure.
Mr. McClure. I'm channeling Mr. Milpas here.
Well, thank you for inviting us here today. The clerk's office has asked us to do a brief presentation, give a little background on Hart Intercivic, and reluctantly they asked me to include a slide about who I am, and then a couple of points that they asked us to discuss with you. Hart Intercivic is focused on government markets, both for elections and paper, secure paper transactions, birth certificates, death. And we've been historically a market-driven company to bring efficiencies and improvements to our customers' daily business activities. Hart's been in business for over 90 years in this market. They've been printing ballots since 1912, have really run elections throughout the state of Texas for a large number of years, had experience with multiple different systems, currently have customers in 16 states, and employ 37 employees here in Lafayette. And to date, over 20 jurisdictions in 9 states have selected the paper ballot system under consideration here for their ballot requirements. Reluctantly, a little information about myself. Colorado native. I have a few degrees, spent a few years in the aerospace industry, medical device industry. I did start consulting for an election startup company here in Boulder County in 1994. That system, that company.
Oh, look at that.
Pardon my audio visual. I was never part of the AV club in high school. There we go. So I did start consulting for a company in 94, and that company went out of business, and I turned around and formed a new company after having learned about the opportunity in the election industry in 96 and wrote some patents. Learned after a while, in reality, no election official would really trust some geek walking out of his garage. So I got involved with Hart InterCivic. They were looking to get into the electronic market. And I'm currently vice president for the company and the general manager of the Colorado facility, where we do all of our product development, product management, product testing. We introduced the system in the 2000 presidential election, and my life has been hell ever since. The clerk asked me to talk about standards a little bit. And I'd just like to spend a minute of why they're important and why we believe they're important. They really, in different applications, will establish a minimum set of requirements and generally includes performance, quality, reliability, and other metrics by which to establish software and product functionality. Standards-based certifications ensure best practices for a variety of processes and products, and also people in which in the organizations in which they operate. And we as a company do not measure ourselves against other election vendors. I tell my people we're not in this business to build a voting system to be satisfied, to be certified. We're building a voting system to be a good, exceptional product for the market. Some of the efforts that we've undergone at Hart InterCivic to bring a standards-based approach to this industry include involvement in something called a capability maturity model, which is a measure of software quality and process repeatability. We've been on track for this to gain a level 2 certification. There are several levels for it, and it's a iterative program where you progress in your ability to meet the requirements of that standard. So it's a very rigorous process, and we apply that to our development system. We became ISO 9000 certified in April of 2000. This is also a measure of quality and a practice, a set of processes by which guides our business on a daily basis. And most importantly, we audited every 6 months by an outside agency to ensure that we're in compliance and doing what we say we will. Recently, the election industry has experienced a new set of requirements. Historically, in the election business, the requirements have been to prevent fraud and to prevent the customer from getting themselves in trouble. Recently, security has become a focus of the industry, and while there are no standards yet, it's clear that our customers need a higher level of security in their products, and we've undertaken the effort to bring that to them prior to standards coming out. ISO 17799 is another certification that is a measurement, a best practices measurement for facility and product and how you conduct your business in a secure manner. It covers personnel, access control, physical and electronic, and security around and within your development process. It's a very rigorous effort. We undertook this as we recognize security that's going to be an upcoming requirement in the market. And as recently as a week ago, we passed our audit and have been recommended to the British Standards Institute for certification under this qualification. Again, we're re-audited every 6 months to ensure that we're complying with those policies and practices. Just to further give an example of some of HART's effort to stay out in front of what the requirements or the standards are in the industry, if we developed an XML standard for data interchange among voting systems and voter registration systems. This is done out of to promote openness and interoperability between different components of systems by different manufacturers. We've submitted that. We've released it to the public domain and submitted it to the IEEE 1622 EDI interchange standard. It's applicable for voter registration, election management, and ballot definition functions. We have already seen several voter registration RFPs come out with XML standards requirements within there, including Colorado. Those are some internal efforts that we go under as far as standards and operating to that kind of level. We're also involved on a national basis on industry standards. We've successfully completed 10 iterations through the FEC, NASED, ITA voting system certification cycle. This is where an independent test agent authority reviews your software and your hardware against the voting system standards published by the Federal Election Commission. These 10 cycles include updates and improvements, additional functionality, and as keeping with our effort to stay in front of the market requirements, we're submitting a next major release in April 04 that's primarily security focused. We were very much active and participated in the rewrite and update of the FEC voting system standards in 2000. We are an ongoing contributor to its implementation. There's a meeting on February 13th in DC that we've been invited to. And in these standards, it really defines the reliability, performance, accuracy requirements that our system has met at a minimum. And so these standards are publicly available. Knowing that we've passed and comply with these, they just define a minimum set at which our products adhere. We're also very involved in a new effort of the IEEE, which is one of the largest standard-setting bodies in the world. I'm actually the project manager for that standards efforts, and we're contributing and part of the review cycle for that. And this, the working groups that are participating in this include NIST, FEC, and the National Association of State Election Directors. As a major vendor in the country, we've been asked to participate in the review of various rules and legislation that are being proposed around the country. Some of our latest review include in California and Washington, where they're passing legislation and rules on voter verifiable ballots. And they have invited us to review those and review them against our proposed solution to that. So we continue to participate in these and are very much a part of the evolution of this. With that concludes the topics the clerk has asked me to address, and pending any questions, we'll go on and demonstrate ballot now.
Any questions?
Go on. Okay.
Yep.
So Ballot Now actually is a different sort of technology than optical scan. As you recall, the optical scan ballots from the last election here in Boulder County, there's something like this with, if you look along the side, there's a set of marks along the side of the ballot. And these are really tracking marks. And the way this technology works is that when it's fed through the scanner, these tracking marks tell the system when to do a line scan, a single line scan. And when it does that, it just picks up where the voter response areas are supposed to be and does an analog measurement of the amount of reflected light. Okay, so that's a fairly well-established technology. It's been around. It has known deficiencies. And as you can tell from that description, it's very important that the registration of the voter response areas be very precise. So this gets back to the question that Linda raised. If the voter response area is not lined up with that tracking mark, or if it is shifted in some way, the response area is not that large. I think these on this ballot are about a 16th of an inch. Well, a 10% change in humidity can cause a 1% change in the size of this piece of paper. So if we're talking on the order of a 16th of an inch for a voter response area, you can see that humidity changes alone can move the location of that and directly affect the accuracy of the system. Environmental issues are also a problem. Optical scan is based on an emitter-detector pair. Pardon the geek talk, but it emits light, and the reflected light is then measured in an analog fashion. And these require calibration. And as there's an array in there, you can't guarantee the calibration equally across that array. So these are known issues with the technology. And what HART has done is introduced a much more robust approach to reading paper. So this is actually the ballot from the California gubernatorial recall where we ran their election in Orange County, 100% paper election. We did over 800,000 ballots for that election. But if you'll notice on this ballot, we have barcodes that are positioned at each of the corners of the ballot. And these do a number of things. The first, it identifies the form. What precinct, what election, very uniquely identifies it. And it also allows us to scan this using a digital imaging device and produce an electronic memory, an image of it in memory. And based on that, and we know exactly where these barcodes are, we can correct the size of the image, and that way we remove any sort of changes that have occurred due to printing or from scanning. Now, because we've created this form, Ballot Now also produces, they also print these. We know where everything is on the ballot. And so in when we process this image, we actually know that this first box at this location is for the first candidate. And we actually go in and find each voter response area in software. And then we look inside the box. Whereas on an optical scan system, they actually filter the voter response out and never see it. So we very precisely look at every voter response area and determine whether there is or is not a mark in it. It also allows us to then to process those images on the screen. So when there is ever an issue of voter intent, a question of voter intent, where historically for an op-scan system, you take that front of the ballot board, you review it, even with a punch card system, you review it, and you make a determination of voter intent, and you either alter the original record by putting stickers on it, or you fill out another ballot to match it. And this is done with scrutiny and parties, both parties participating. In Ballot Now, because we're processing the digital image, we never have to alter the original paper record. It is always preserved in its original format. And we track any sort of resolution issues that are performed during this. So we'll start a brief demonstration here. We have a ballot definition software, which it writes a ballot definition file, so it generates all the ballot styles for the election. Across the whole county, it generates one file. It has all the information for for the entire election and writes it to this flash memory card that we call a mobile ballot box. That mobile ballot box is then inserted into the system for Ballot Now. Ballot Now reads this file and is able to print ballots and scan ballots to it. And following that effort, we'll write what we call cast vote records to this. A cast vote record equates to your electronic vote as extracted from the paper ballot in Ballot Now. So that's a, and then those are taken to the tally software where they're tabulated. So another distinction with Ballot Now, optical scan, when you feed it through the scanner, it tabulates because it can only tell that there's a mark right at that location. It puts it in a bucket for that candidate. In Ballot Now, we create an electronic equivalent of what you marked and store that and use that to tabulate. So this allows us to process ballots before election day because we're not tabulating them. That's why you're limited on to tabulating optical scan to election day, because the act of feeding it through the machine tabulates it. Same with punch cards. So in reality, we'll be able to start processing ballots through Ballot Now before election day. But again, there's no results even available until you plug this into the tabulation software. So that gives us some efficiency in some of our counties to remove that workload for election day.
So what you're saying, you're speaking here to early voting and absentee ballots primarily.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Well, that does raise a question. What then becomes the official record of the election? Is it the electronically scanned file, or is it the paper ballots?
Well, this is the medium that you're counting, the electronic piece. So this is the official record.
So if we were to do a recount, the recount would consist, under state law, which says you must do it the same way that it was originally done, would the recount then be consist of running these virtual ballot boxes through the machine?
No, you would rescan all of your ballots.
You would rescan them.
Yes. We have a procedure on file with the Secretary of State that we've worked with them, and it covers the recount procedures for the state of Colorado. So you rescan, and any sort of voter intent issue that was resolved as part of that initial scan must be repeated identically, and we provide information from the system that allows you to do that.
So the original paper ballots would be used in the recount?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
My able assistant, Chuck, here will start up Ballot Now. We've done a sample little ballot.
Right here? Do we have to vote here?
You don't have to.
Okay. Explain how you vote. Does it matter if you make an X check or do you have to fill the box entirely?
The instructions state to fill in the box, but we do accept check marks or lines and a variety of different marks as we are accustomed to voters not reading directions.
Okay.
So Ballot Now produces the ballots itself. So it's really, it generates the form is another way to look at it. And these ballots can be produced on any laser printer. We treat the ballots as currency. So Ballot Now knows what ballots were produced and checks those and verifies against which ones it's received back. These can be produced in-house. You can take them to a facility that has a digital printer and produce volumes of them. For example, for Boulder County, we would recommend that maybe they go out and produce 80% of their turnout and expected turnout, and then they can make up the balance at the end on demand in the office so that you have no leftover ballots when the election is complete. Provides for a very efficient process, whereas opposed to punch card or off scan, you must do offset printing and over-order so that you don't run out of ballots. So it provides a lot of cost efficiency from that respect.
So I'm just printing a ballot now.
So as you can see, when you print ballots, it lists the possible precincts that are contained in that election. You can selectively print from a single precinct or multiple precincts and specify the number of copies that are part of it. So it's a fairly flexible print interface to allow you to produce ballots. Ballot Now, it operates in duplex mode. Whether you only have contests on one side or not, it will print information on the reverse side, and that helps to manage the image. It will do ballots 8.5 by 11, 8.5 by 14, and all the way up to the whopping 11 by 17 duplex. So a lot of flexibility in the structure and how you lay out your ballot. It provides for the most efficient mailing cost by doing that and managing your paper size, as that's based on weight. And you can buy a lot of one size envelope, and each of these sizes will fit in the same size envelope. So you get rid of any of those efficiencies, as envelopes get pretty expensive for mail elections.
Folded, or you got the seat?
That's what they all say.
Thank you.
So we bring the ballots back in, and there we have well-defined processes that we've worked through several customers and really helped the customer understand how to do batch management and establish some workflows in their office for efficient handling and management of the ballots and running through the scanning process. And these are part of our training program, and we impart our experience to our customers to ease their transition period into this.
Get the light.
Okay. So it will ballot now. We'll scan them in, and it keeps track. And we manage everything by batches so that you can separate out and keep track of. Either by precinct. You don't have to sort by precinct. Ballot Now will do that for you. So, you know, on election day, though, most of the ballots that will be cast will be sorted by precinct. But, for example, for by-mail elections, you don't need to sort it by precinct. So that's another work efficiency saving. So once we've scanned them through.
I'll scan another.
So we've named the different batches, and
this is a demo scanner we have.
Right. We support several levels of commercial scanners depending on your volume of ballots. So this is the lower end scanner that we support. It'll do, I think, 35 images a minute, and we have on it 99 and 240 images a minute. So once you've scanned them in, you go to the resolution screen to see if any anomalies or intent issues have been determined. So what happens when Ballot Now scans this? As I told you, we print this form so we know exactly what's on here. So it goes to the first candidate, looks for a mark, goes to the second candidate, looks for a mark. And when it gets down to the fifth candidate, Ballot Now knows that that's part of the first contest. So at that point, it applies ballot logic and says, this is a vote for one. I better only have one vote here. And so if there's more than one vote, it knows it's an overvote and reports it. If there is no vote, it's an undervote and reports it. So it applies that ballot logic to it and identifies any problem on the ballot in real time. And then it presents you the issues that it has found in that scan. If there are no issues and everything complied with the voting instructions, you only voted for one you were supposed to, then it just automatically stores that information in the system.
Right, with the screen resolution, I can't get to the can't get to the buttons. I'd have to change the screen resolution. May not be compatible with that screen up there.
Try it. I was running it. Yeah, I was running it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's better. So this shows the two batches that we just scanned into the scanner. The first batch was four ballots from the commissioners, and
that was four ballots from the commissioners?
Whoops. Ineligible voter.
I'm going to demand a recount.
please do.
And so these were the ballots as they were marked. As you can see, ballot now has flagged one of these contests yellow. And what that means is there's an undervote. There wasn't enough votes in that contest. And so I can look at that more closely. And the instructions are vote for three, and we can see that there's really only one vote in that contest. And so for an election judge to resolve this, to look at the contest and say, well, obviously there's only one mark here, so that's a confirm, and we save it. And now that ballot is resolved.
So that was the only issue it found on that ballot. Now,
how is it resolved?
So what you can do, though, is it can auto-resolve. So you can rely on ballot now to say when it finds an undervote, just record it as an undervote. So, for example, in optical scan systems, you can have it pass through undervotes or overvotes. You can turn the switch off. So you can do automatic resolution of undervotes if you want and record it that way. Or you can trap them and look at every one of them.
So are we going through this ballot by ballot here? Okay.
Yes.
I mean, we can cut it short. I mean, it gives
No, I actually, because I think there have been a variety of things I know I've done. I just want to check out the system.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this case, we do have a write-in where the voter has written in a choice. And so the election official at this point would type in the name that they see.
And these write-ins, if you have certified write-ins that are defined part of the ballot definition process, they will come through to ballot now and pre-populate it, so you can assign it to a drop-down menu.
Now, we might say that George LeRoy Tirebiter is not certified in the state.
Or I could almost guarantee it.
So we will leave this this candidate as uncertified. And you can see that it shows that it's uncertified. Again, another undervote.
So, for instance, where I used a check mark there, was that counted correctly?
That was fine. I mean, we can't determine. We can't say. I mean, as long as you don't put check marks that violate the voting logic, whether, you know, you put too many check marks in, that's when we would raise attention to it.
To a certain extent, what I'm trying to just get a sense of is how the system handles different ways of entry here.
Right. I mean, we handle every type of mark. In some states, you're required to put an X in there, and so we support that. I mean, our recommended approach is just to fill in the box, as that's consistent with what off-scan people do, and so we try to maintain that voter level of education.
Now, I'll show you. I had a batch where I pre-marked some ballots. Some ballots may not need resolution. You can see they've come up as green here. And that ballot is marked just fine. I've got one here. This one happens to show an overvote. Now, here's one advantage that the ballot now system will give. sometimes voters will make a mistake. And we do see ballots marked in paper coming back that look like this. And it's in this case, it's pretty obvious that, what the voter intent is. And so, again, the election official can make a determination that that's not the vote that the voter wanted, and make the change and record that vote properly. In some of the competing systems out there, there would not be a way to award that vote properly.
You'd be back to remarking ballots. Now, all the time that we're doing this, Chuck has had to log in with a username and password. Every action that he is taking on these ballots is being recorded in the audit log. So, and it's identified by batch number and serial number and order in the batch of where it is and the exact action that he took place, that he performed on this. So it's completely traceable back to the original document.
He's uncertified. Okay, and that completes our election. We reviewed all the ballots, and we've made the determination as to voter intent.
Well, the question I would have, getting back to HAVA, and the $64,000 question or problem out there is how to deal with the disabilities community and the need to vote unassisted. How do you propose to deal with that?
Historically, we have supplied our DRE to support that. And this is part. This ballot now application is part of a completely integrated solution. And the ballot definition software and the tabulation software, which bookends the product, would support the DRE for an accessible interface. You literally can take the same card that you wrote from our ballot definition software and use it for ballot now or use it for our DRE. So it's that integrated.
Well, I'm not sure how feasible it is, but has anyone considered, for instance, the advantage to people in the disability community of DREs is people can vote unassisted, people who are blind can listen to who's being voted for. Would it be possible that DRE would put out a paper ballot reflecting those choices?
That is actually what we are working on as far as a voter verifiable paper audit trail.
Okay, so that would strongly interest me, because then the complete product would be something that could be verified.
Right, we are in the development process of that. We have been participating in many state level discussions. We've been demonstrating our proposed solution. We've demonstrated it here in Boulder County. And talk to the clerk's office about it. We've been to other states with it, and we're actively developing that as we speak.
Because I think one thing that's been unappreciated is the fact that legally the county does have to abide by the HAVA provisions regarding ability to vote unassisted, and that's where the DREs have come in, not because that's our preference. It's because it's about the only legal method we've been able to think of, but I think if there's some way that we can come up with a paper ballot at the end of that meets both the need to provide a unassisted voting method plus a verifiable paper trail, that would be the best.
And as I said, we're working on that, and as the requirements evolve across the country, we're developing a solution to provide exactly that.
I assume this will not be available in time for the 2004 election.
That's correct. We anticipate release of the first version of that in late August of this year, and then there's a question of certification. That's one of the challenges to the vendor community is the public and the customers are asking for this, and there's really nothing that defines how it's supposed to work.
So if we were to purchase your system, we would be getting the paper system plus presumably a certain number of DREs for the disabled community. Is that correct?
I believe that's one of the future objectives of the clerk's office, is to establish this paper system that's part of a larger capability, and in the future when those other requirements are defined, because our system is integrated, it will work seamlessly with what they've purchased here.
Okay, but I mean, we would be going without the disabled having a paper ballot, but everybody else would.
This component...
Madam Clerk.
Commissioners, just wanted to clarify this information for you. HAVA requires by 2006 that every county have at least one DRE system or a form of voting to allow people with disabilities the opportunity to vote unassisted. At this point in time, as we addressed in our presentation, those standards have not been established, and that is why at this point in time we have not addressed the DREs at all. We
so legally we don't have to in the 2004
not at 2004.
I see. Can you give me a rough idea how many people in the 2002 election required assistance to vote?
Most generally, anyone with disabilities have either requested an absentee ballot so that they could have assistance in their home. I don't know about any assistance on the polling place because, as you know, I was not the clerk prior to 2003, and that was a mail ballot election. I would have to defer to Nancy Jo Wuerl, who was the elections manager and is now the chief deputy.
Do we have any handle on that?
Not a statistical handle, but it's a very, very, very small percentage of people that actually go to the polls. We've had people that come in primarily during early voting and have had assistance, but again, percentage-wise, it's very small. But because they do come primarily to early voting or into our actual office, it's we could certainly go through and look at the number of assistance forms that have been completed.
Would you say, I would like that number at some point, but would you say under 1,000?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean,
we're talking a few hundred.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
But obviously one that is disenfranchised is one too many, so.
And it doesn't take very many votes to change a close election.
Yes, indeed.
And although we may not have that many that have come in physically, there may be several that have applied for an absentee ballot that we would be unaware of there.
Okay.
So given an election like 2004, kind of what the ballot might look like in a presidential election year with state ballot issues, local issues, et cetera, what kind of, and the number of ballots that in Boulder County that might be cast in that kind of year, what kind of time will it take to count the ballots through this kind of system?
As we've talked about how it operates, it's a little slower than optical scan. We've provided the clerk with two different options that represent two different pricing structures. If they went with a four scanner option, I believe the number was, I don't think I have it in front of me. With four scanners, and you start, I put together a number of assumptions to determine that. So if I may just read through these real quick. If we set the assumption at 200,000 registered voters, worst slash best case turnout is 80%, giving 160,000 voters, and estimating absentee by mail at 15%, early voting estimate at 20%, that gives us on election day 104,000 ballots. And at a four scanner option, it would take 9 hours to process those. So if you started at the first ballot, and then another assumption, the first ballot arrives at 8:30.
Is this based on a single ballot for a single election?
This is based on, first of all, it's not based on projected throughput from a scanner manufacturer. This is based on real empirical data from the field.
Maybe if I'm not making myself clear, one of the curiosities, for lack of a better term, Colorado is voters get to vote on just about everything.
Right.
The last general election I voted in, I had eight cards that I needed to vote on both sides. And one of my concerns has been that with especially the optical scan system is will we always be able to fit all of the issues and candidates on one sheet of paper, and if not, what happens then?
You can go to two-page ballots. I told you this estimate is based on 11 by 17 duplex four-column ballot. We've been running this system down in Arapahoe County for a couple of election cycles and have kept the ballot to one page. California also has some very long ballots out there, and we're doing the primary right now in Orange County, and it's on a single page.
When you say one page, you mean one side of a sheet of paper?
No, duplex.
Duplex.
So,
well, this is one contest. It's 130 candidates or whatever it is. There can also be ballot measures and candidates on the back.
Okay, and you can, and if you happen to have two contests like that, or four or eight, you could have two pieces of paper per voter, and you could handle
absolutely.
It.
Okay. Absolutely.
But one thing we learned in developing, the minute that you say you're only going to have 100 contests in an election, the next day you're going to have 101.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand there's really no ceiling to how long a ballot can get, and the system will accommodate that.
Is that 104,000 ballots roughly what we would have had in a presidential election 4 years ago on election day, 104,000 election day votes?
That represents the 80% turnout.
That sounds fairly close. I'd like to ask a couple questions about things that were covered in the written presentation but haven't been spoken of so far. Your assumption is that the ballots will be printed out at the polling places. Is that correct?
No.
No.
They'll be printed centrally.
They will be printed centrally and distributed.
Correct.
But if you went to the clerk's office to change your address or any of those procedures that are allowed on election day, you would print the ballot just based on where the person lives?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead.
It would be similar in the case, commissioners. If you had applied for an absentee ballot and you said you lost it or the dog ate it or whatever, then what you could be allowed to do is to come in, and then we could issue a ballot on demand. We would
at
not
at your office.
However. At our office, not at the polling place. What we would do would be print a batch of ballots just like we do for the normal election and have the large amounts available at the polling places. But this would give us the ability, if they ran short and say instead of a 80% turnout, we had a 99.9%, we would have the capability of then printing those ballots in-house under the control of the clerk's division.
Okay.
So. And which this allows for a better security issue, because currently under the current system or under the past system that we had with the mail ballot, we had a secured locked room with ballots for replacement ballots. People had to come in and emergency registration be allowed to give them ballots. So you don't know how many you're going to need. So, and you have also a limited amount of numbers that you have to print. So if you have a precinct that only may have 35 voters, the printer may require you to print 500 of that ballot because that's a minimum quantity to print for that. This would eliminate those excess ballots.
Okay, now the choice of paper was also mentioned, and it was made as a selling point that if you ran out of one flat type, you could use a different type of stock. There's nothing that would require that, I would hope.
No, that's not. I mean, it would be dependent on what we decide. We had talked about a variety of security issues. If we wanted to print it on a specific type of paper, as you saw on the sample ballot that he had provided you, there was a watermark. So it isn't something that is easily taken down to run down to Kinko's and make a copy that somebody could make a copy of. So there are security measures put in place.
Okay.
And if you need to print extra ballots, how long for that, or in, you know, double-sided piece of paper, how long is it going to take you to print 200 of them that you need more in some precinct out in East Boulder?
15 minutes.
Okay.
Or whatever the rated output of a 9,000, HP 9,000 printer is.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions?
Commissioners, I was just going to supplement something that Ms. Salas said, if I could. She mentioned that by 2006, there needed to be a DRE for disabled access. I believe, and she can correct me if I'm wrong, that it's a DRE for every single precinct, polling place in every single precinct.
I apologize. That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Further questions for the clerk or the vendor? Seeing none, I will. Yes?
Did you want to see the total of the election or anything?
Yeah. Well, yes. Why don't you finish the presentation? My apology. Or,
and so, as Mr. McClure mentioned, the votes that were recorded by the ballot now system will now be saved to the mobile ballot box, which is in this room. First, we make sure that everything's resolved there, and it is. This system, we're counting absentee votes today, and I'm going to write both batches.
One thing we discussed with the clerk's office was the ability to provide an inline audit during election process of where a batch of ballots could be identified, scanned, transferred to the tabulation software, and a report produced sometime during election night where the ballots would be hand-counted, hand-tallied to paper original records, and then the results on the report can be validated against that hand count. So it provides some inline auditability, which is important to the county clerk. This is our tabulation application tally. It really is just an adding machine and reporting mechanism. It will read the cast vote records off the mobile ballot box and produce results from it. This application is initialized from the ballot definition information. So all of the information that you enter during the ballot definition phase is really programming and preparing for tabulation as well. So it says we read 11 ballots.
Start the tabulation. 11 ballots have been tabulated. And now we're ready to show the reports. So we have 4 cast votes for the Democrat, Kim Adams, 2 cast votes for the Republican, Richard Black, and 1 for the Green Party, total 7. House of Representatives, Representatives 10th District.
I think we can just print that out and give it to them. So anything that was under vote, I mean, that's, we had 11 ballots, but not all the votes were cast in the first contest, so there's only 7 votes for the candidates there.
So for the purpose of this exercise, all write-in votes were considered uncertified?
They reported them as unofficial results until the tabulation software is closed and the election is locked, and at that point the canvas has been completed and it becomes an official report.
I mean, there were 2 write-in votes cast here.
Right.
And we marked them all. You know, they were picked up, obviously.
Right.
For the purpose of this report, they were all considered uncertified candidates. Is that correct?
I think we entered. So here's the write-in that showed up that we entered, Alfred Packard, and at this point you're asked to say whether that's a valid write-in or not.
That's,
and
that's the point I was getting.
Okay, yeah, I apologize.
Thank you.
So he's been at it.
So he would show up on the reports at that point.
Okay. Under Colorado law, Mr. Packer would have had to have filed this affidavit that he wanted his
correct
to be considered.
Correct. And you know, the system, as you go through the tabulation and give it more information about what it's seeing, if you only have uncertified write-ins and people do write in, it will mark them as either an undervote or an overvote if they're not allowed in the election.
Okay.
And that scrutiny of the ballot occurs where then? Looking at the issue of who's of whether they're write-ins.
It occurred in Ballot Now, of where you actually look at the write-in. So you saw where those were posted on the screen there, and you know, all of this is generally there's a predetermination made.
No, but I mean, does it happen at the polling place or does it happen at the collection where the vote is collected and
where recorded? The vote is collected. Where the ballots are processed at the central location.
And the point where the votes, the paper ballots will be physically transported to the clerk's office, and that's where they will be cast and put into the, quote, mobile ballot box.
Correct.
Correct?
Correct. So this setup is all at a central location.
Okay. Right. So then the counting judges are the people who make those sort of decisions?
Ballot board?
Linda, can you speak up at the microphone?
We would have basically the same. We would still have the two judges. They just would not be physically remarking another ballot to indicate the voter's intent.
So the precinct judges bring in the paper ballots, mm-hmm. which are given then to the judges who are working the election that night, and they run the precinct through.
And this is all would be projected on a wall. So poll watchers, judges, anybody that is eligible to be in the counting room would be able to actually see the process, would to be able to see the actual resolution of each of those ballots.
Okay, and so on this, the pricing sheet that we have, that occurs through the Ballot Now?
Correct.
Okay.
So what we just showed you on the screen where we were bringing up images of the ballot, that's Ballot Now.
Right, and that's, so there are four of those? That's what
correct.
We're talking about?
Okay. Right.
I'm just trying to get a sense of how it works election night. So,
if we went with the four, which would give us...
And is that what you're recommending?
We would like, actually, we would like to go with six scanners because, of course, that would... Or Ballot Now. Oh, okay. Yes. I'm sorry.
You're recommending the four
of the
which are four of the software Ballot Now, four of the high speed scanners.
Yes, but the ballot now, yeah, four independent. Yes, it would depend on what the commissioners would like. Of course, if you had more scanners, of course, then and we would need more Ballot Nows, which would be probably. We were looking at six, is that correct? With six scanners, of course, then that would increase the speed of the results.
And there's some bulk discount, I'm sure. No. Would your intention be then to have one of these operations going in Longmont, one in Louisville, and one in Boulder, or how would you do it?
At the current time and the current process that we have, I think we have one in Boulder and we have one in Longmont. And we have and one in Louisville, so we would continue the same.
No, not in Louisville.
I'm sorry. One in Longmont, one in Boulder. The same process that we've had. My apologies.
Well, because if this is of some interest to me, coming from the southeast part of the county, what would it take to have a location in the southeast part of the county? Or is this a worker issue?
Well, I think it's a lot of it is space issue.
Okay.
We don't have room, as you know,
at the annex office location in Louisville. There is just no space there to do the counting unless we could find some other facility.
Historically, we have collected the ballots at Centaurus High School, and obviously the security issue there on counting is real there. So historically, we've had everybody from the judges drop off their ballots, and in the past, the Duplication and Inspection Board was convened there, but then they brought the actual ballots to Boulder, and they were counted here. In Longmont, because we have control of the facility, it's our office, then we've done the duplication and then counted there, and the results were wired down here.
Since we are in a long-term process of looking for additional office space in Southeast County, I think this would be a good thing to keep in mind.
Funny thing, you should mention that.
Just talking
we were that. Talking about the old grocery store there on the corner of County Road and Pine Street. Too bad we don't have that.
Is that not the post office?
Before your time was the store, now it's the
post office. No, actually, Nancy Jo, I used to ride my bike out there many years ago.
So.
I do appreciate that you think it was before my time, though.
I'm sorry, when I said Louisville, I heard somebody say Louisville on the back.
Okay. Further questions?
So you'd probably have one of these in Longmont and three of them in Boulder. Is that what you do, or two in both places?
If we had six units, we'd have two in Longmont and four here.
But if you've got four units, which is what we have in front of us, you'd...
Correct.
And was your computation of the 9 hours based on four?
Yes.
Okay.
Further questions? Okay, further... I think under those circumstances, we'll open the public hearing. You want to take a break?
I have a 2-minute break.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We will take a 5-minute break, and I promise to be more attentive when we come back.